say that with me. Death and... So those are pretty opposing polar opposites. They're pretty dichotomous. There is the North Pole, the South Pole. There is life and death. So that's pretty much the extremities of life, okay? So death and life, all you could say this, everything about life, from the most positive issues of healing and redemption in life to the most destructive of death. So death and life, where are death and life? They're in the power of the tongue. Let's see it like this. They're under the authority of words. Death and life are released by the power of word. Those that love it, love either side, will eat the fruit of it. Message Bible, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. You choose. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Message Bible of that, Proverbs 12:13. The gossip of bad people gets them in trouble. The conversation of good people keeps them out of it. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Message version, careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything. Now, I just picked only a few out of a plethora of scriptures all through the Bible. So there's probably 30 in Proverbs alone. Then you move into the Gospels, the teaching of Christ, the teachings of Paul. The Bible's full of teaching, understanding, and revelation about the importance of the vocabulary of believers. Okay? So a couple of things I say to you, you know, all the time are, God can't bless it until you stop cursing it. So God wants to do some stuff. So if God was to give you everything you've been saying for the last 6 months, would that be good or bad? The children of Israel, God delivers them, or he's ready to deliver them. They're at the Jordan River. God says, go over there to the promised land. Conquer the enemies there, the seven nations. I'll be with you. I'll help you drive them out. You'll take cities you've not built and farms you've not planted. I'm going to be with you. It's going to be awesome. And here's what they said. We'd rather die here than face adversity there. So God shows up in chapter 14 of Numbers, and he says this to Moses. I'm not going to destroy them. I'm just going to give them what they said. As they've spoken in my ear, so I will do for them. And not one of them that said they couldn't cross over, not one of them crossed over. So oftentimes people talk about judgment, but really most of the time judgment is simply a reaping of a sowing. So if God were to give you the things you've been saying, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Listen to what you've been saying and decide if that's where you want to go. Listen to your words. So the Bible says, you know, here's the word of God, the word of truth, the authored by God, the only book ever authored by God entirely, sacred canon of scripture. It begins with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here's how he did it. And God said, let there be light, let there be firmament, let there be waters. He said, so words govern the spiritual world where our world comes from. You and I are created in the image of God. And by that image, we've been given the authority to release the government of his kingdom by words. By words. Okay? So what we want to do this whole month, we're going to get into prophetic declarations. We're going to talk about some unbelievably exciting things. But today we're going to sharpen our lives and get rid of some negative things. Okay? We're going to let the Holy Spirit refine our conversation, both internally and out of our mouth, so that we align with what heaven wants to do. The best is yet to come in your life. This is going to be a great supernatural September for you. Amen. I appreciate you packing up all your beans and your jelly and your peanut butter. Go ahead, and it's always good to have extra peanut butter in your cupboard, but this is going to be a supernatural September for you. In Christ's name, good things, promotion's going to happen. Great victory is going to happen. So this glorious trust, God says, I'm giving you trust. Now, can I break this down today a little bit for you? When I was finishing my graduate degrees, here's some exciting facts I found out. Studying children, so as sociologists study children, here's what we found out. Little girls and little boys are different. So if you take a bunch of little boys, put them in a room, three-year-old boys, put them in a room, give them some toys, 90%+ of the noise they make will not be words. Truck noise, airplanes, you know, all kinds of guttural sounds that scare women. If you put a room of toys with little girls in it, 95% of what they say will be words. In fact, little girls don't even need other, they'll set up their dolls. Hi, Susie. Hi, Debbie. Here's your tea. And they'll just talk. Because women say, this is a, you know, it's true most of the time at like the 93rd percentile. Women speak twice as many words than men. That's why I tell my wife, I talk so much on Sunday, I'm not going to say anything till Tuesday. I've gone past my limit. Monday's quiet day. I just make guttural noise. So women speak. Now, so I want to talk about there's a lady in the Bible named Deborah. Her name means honeybee or busily speaking. So why did God give women the gift of vocabulary? Could it be that in the last days he would raise up an army of Holy Spirit prophetesses that would speak life to their families, life to their churches, life to their cities? Could it be that God would redeem the nature of women and have them busily speaking things concerning God's kingdom and filling the earth with glory? Proverbs says this, a wise woman builds up her house, a foolish woman tears down her house. Well, that's not talking about using a hammer and a chisel. It's talking about words. Okay, so God wants to take our nature and redeem it for his purpose. Second point, when we change our vocabulary, we change our destination. So you can't change your direction without changing your confession. Okay, couple scriptures, stay with me. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless us. See, if you ever forget to pray before you're eating your food and halfway through it, just say, all that is within me, I bless your holy name, Lord. It's a makeup prayer for food. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay, everybody shout benefits. So, who forgives all your iniquity, every sin, who heals all your disease, every disease, atoned for at the cross, who redeems your life from destruction, that's redemption from the curse, who crowns you then with loving kindness and tender mercy. Now here's my point, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that as a consequence, your youth is renewed like the eagle, Now, I know that has a dual meaning. I know it means eat your vegetables. Sure. But there is, of course, a deeper, more penetrating spiritual principle in the satisfied mouth of someone who says good things. So satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Here's what Isaiah says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the principle of renewal, listen to me, renewal happens when your vocabulary changes. Can't have a bunch of people 29 years old walk around saying, I feel so old. Really? Wait till you are old. Okay? So here's what happens. When Mary and I started our first church in 85, it was called the Eagle's Nest. And part of it was I had a friend had that title, but I loved the study of the great eagle. And so when I studied it, I just felt, so here's the eagle. The eagle is the only mammal that is allowed by God the possibility of life renewal, doubling their lifespan. And here's how it happens. At midlife, the eagle now, its feathers kind of worn and torn. It's dirty underneath. There's scars, never been seen the sunlight, never been washed free. Its beak dull. The eagle says it's time for renewal. Has to choose it. When it chooses renewal, here's what it does. Goes to a high place, finds a freshwater source, either a stream or preferably a waterfall. And the first thing the eagle does, check this out, it finds a sharp rock and goes to that rock and begins to beat its beak against it until its beak becomes razor sharp again. The first thing toward renewal is to fix your mouth. To sharpen your words. So it makes its beak sharp, and then it, because it's taken rotate, pulls every feather out, then for 30, 40 days stands underneath that waterfall, and all the dirt and all the scars that have never been touched by water or touched and healed, grows brand new teenage feathers with oil sacs, pops the oil sacs, comes down from the mountain a brand new bird. Better than plastic surgery. Real feathers, new feathers, a sharp beak. All began with a choice. So renewals, so he'll satisfy your mouth with good things. Good things. What good things are you saying about your future? About your family, your life, your finance, your health, your... What things are you creating a future about by what you're saying now? So that's what God has for us. He wants us to refine our words by what we say. So here's a couple of good scriptures. 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you be of one mind, unity. Have compassion for each other. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. All great, wonderful things. Don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. So someone says something inappropriate, hurtful, harmful, critical. Don't respond or retaliate on their level, but bless them. Bless, here's what Christ said, bless those that curse you. Bless and curse not. On the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So every time you bless a jerk, you get an extra blessing in your life. So every time someone speaks inappropriate to you or does, and you bless them, you create a consequence of blessing in your future. Bible says, okay, read on. For he who would love life and see good days. Anybody want to see good days? Okay, the rest of you want bad days. I'm praying for you. So love life and see good days. Here's how you get it. Let them refrain their tongue from evil and lips from speaking deceit. Wow. So the things I say create the quality of kingdom experience I'll have in my future. Y'all with me? Mary and I don't talk about people. We don't gossip. And it's not that I'm not tempted. OMG. Okay. I have 1,000 things I could say about 1,000 people. 999 of them preachers. I don't talk about preachers. We don't talk. We don't gossip. We don't participate in that stuff. We've learned to train our words. When someone unleashes junk against us, we bless them, usually that same day. So get this. Your words. So God's given your life all this energy, this potential, this great destiny. But yet all of that potential destiny, all of that gifting, all of that calling is subject to the steering wheel of your life. And the steering wheel of your life, doesn't matter if you have a 500 horsepower Hemi engine, that engine can't take you anywhere. The steering wheel doesn't point. And the steering wheel of your life are your words. I changed every Church for the Nation church this summer, grew, had miracles all summer long, because I trained our campus pastors to stop cursing our summers. We don't take the summer off. God doesn't take the summer off. Let's just believe for outrageous things to happen all summer. Supernatural summers. God, and so we've created the opposite of what people, of the expectation. Psalm 107 verse 2. I'm going to talk more about this in the weeks to come. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What does that mean? Talk about what God has done for you in Jesus. James chapter 3. Here is the New Testament really in most in-depth teaching about words. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So there is an accountability. So I'm accountable not just for what I'm saying, but who I'm saying it to. Y'all with me? For we all stumble many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, that's a perfect Greek word, mature man or woman, able to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. So a 1,500-pound horse obeys the rider because of the bridle, because of the bit in its mouth. We turn the whole body. Look also at ships. So before cars, there's ships. Although they were so large, they are so large and driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned by very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So in comparison to the sails, to the rowing, to the size of the ship, the rudder is relatively small, but it determines the direction of the massive ship. Talking about words now, okay? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So talking now about how our words unleash the fire of hell, all these negative things, okay? No man can tame the tongue. Verse 9, with it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men, made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth, verse 10, proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, my sistren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? So the direction here is that we would learn to let the Holy Spirit. So a couple of polls. So look at me for it. So how many of you BC had a different vocabulary than AD? I was a little church boy. My first secular job was my first full-time secular job at ITT Courier. And I learned to speak, I didn't speak it, but I learned to understand Babylonian. And because I heard words, my boss was a retired sailor named Al, a woman. Toughest man in the shop. And whenever she called for me, she'd use a few adjectives, pronouns. And I don't think I heard that one before. Write that one down. So how many of you, after you got saved, the Holy Spirit helped you to stop using profanity? That's wonderful. Isn't that awesome? So the same Holy Spirit that helped you stop cussing can help you stop cursing. Okay? The same Holy Spirit wants you to refine your vocabulary so that he can trust you with real authority. Message version of this. Don't be in a rush to become a teacher, my friends. Okay, so this is just the accountability of teacher. I feel like having an altar call and praying for mercy for myself right now. Oh, God. Okay, teachers are held in the strictest of standards. This is true. Teachers should have the fear of God. But what they say in the name of God. Okay? Verse 3, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. Small rudder takes a huge ship. The hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything. Just underline that. It can accomplish nearly anything, good or bad, good or bad. It only takes a spark to set a whole forest on fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. Our speech can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on their reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, or go up and smoke with it. So this is it. So he's now talking about how without the Holy Spirit. Now here's what he's saying. Recognize that you're impotent. That you're weak and unable to change your vocabulary without God's help. Just recognize that we have a disposition toward the negative. And let the Holy Spirit help you. He wants to help you. Amen. Third point, ask the Holy Spirit to help you control the things you say. Ask the Holy Spirit. So you're a walking, heavenly, supernatural, Holy Ghost atomic bomb. But God needs you to stop exploding in the wrong places. You with me? Mary and I were going through all these things. She's heard this story. Just plug your ears, honey. She's heard these stories so many times. Oh, my God. Find a new story. We were going through tough times, and I was sitting all day, but I had 15 attorneys. And because it wasn't their fault, but all the news was negative because of what was happening. And so after spending all day with attorneys, I was taking Melody and her, a couple of her girlfriends and some teenagers to a basketball game where Matthew, my son, was playing as a freshman in the city of Maricopa. As I remember right, Matthew won the game with like a second to go. It was a great game. So we'd driven there in our Honda minivan. And so on the way there, no one's sitting next to me in the front seat. I just said this. I whispered it, but I said it out loud. I feel like I'm cursed. Y'all with me? That's how I felt. And just no good news. Just, you know, I was under it. So the game's over. I come out of the game. And so I come out. If you've ever had your car stolen, there's always a moment of disbelief. So I came in there. Back there. Cars. I put it there. It's not there. I parked it there. So on the right was a new Lexus, on the left was a new Mercedes. My first thought was, what kind of criminal would walk around a Lexus, avoid the Mercedes, and steal the banged up, used, 100,000 miles Honda minivan? And so after, 5-10 minutes, I've got to call the cops. My car's been stolen. They said, So I'm over there pouting and talking to God, calling it prayer. And I said, how come my car, when there's all these nice cars, how come my car got stolen? I'm just asking honestly. And he answered me. Here's what he said. Your car was stolen because it was the only car cursed in the parking lot. You're putting this back on me? then I got it. I'd opened a door for the devil to take things because I said I'm cursed. Come on. I have some really bunch of stories like that. That's my favorite one because it has a Honda minivan in it. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 12, make the tree good. Either make the tree good, its fruit good, or else make the tree bad, its fruit bad. A tree is known by its fruit. So what does it mean? God values character, which is the proven lifestyle of something, what it produces, okay? So that's how it's good for ministry, for life, for everything. Brood of vipers, he's talking now to hypocrites, Pharisees. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, a great verse here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So God says to change your vocabulary, we've got to change your heart. We've got to change what's happening down there, what you're believing, what you're thinking about. Got to change the inner vocabulary you're having with yourself and the things you're believing, okay? So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you be justified, by your words you be condemned. So I got to speed this up, but look at me. So here's what Jesus said. No such thing as unimportant words. Here's what we know in quantum physics. I say something, hi, Pastor Bonnie. So for 2 seconds, those words are heard. Listen to me. But those words go in the universe forever. The sound waves that form them, they don't stop. Here's kind of the natural part of it that they say. So if we do something here, if I do something if I burn a plant in my backyard, it affects the weather patterns in Brazil. But everything is connected, has a far-reaching consequence. So Jesus said, your words have eternal significance. By your words, you'll be condemned. By your words, you'll be justified. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you got saved. So the same faith that saved you wants to be unleashed to bring kingdom life to a hurting world if you'll let it. God wants your words to be like a builder building things, like a surgeon healing things, surgically, precisely, with precision, with prophetic guidance, with scriptural authority. God wants your words. The last part in the Message version, last couple of verses. Words are powerful. Say those three things with me. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can be your damnation. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication, word, proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Next verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So, Mary and I got married 36 years ago. I found out right away that I had to change my vocabulary because of things that bothered her. They didn't bother me until I married her. So, I've adjusted my vocabulary because who I live with. You with me? It wasn't that it was vulgar or I would say overly vulgar. Okay, just was, you know. So I learned by living with someone not to grieve them. Come on. When the Holy Spirit moved into you, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you how to have a vocabulary that doesn't grieve him. And the closer you get to God, the more refined your vocabulary will be because you feel it when you say something that the Holy Spirit does not have a blessing on. Now, a couple things. I pray the Lord help me from stop exaggerating or lying and help me from stop saying hurtful things. I prayed that prayer years ago. So now, sometimes midway through a sentence, that is stop. Whoops. Weren't you saying nothing? No. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to give power to it. Oh, Pastor, I'm not, you know, that's, I'm not talking, that preacher fell in sin. What's that got to do with you? So just be careful. So let the Holy Spirit be your helper. Last verse, and I'm going to do a little example. I'm going to go. Psalm 141. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. A beautiful petition of intercession and of worship. And then he says this. My main trouble is my mouth. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. David said, literally, put a warrior there. Let him slap me. Now, if that was literally true, all of us would have red faces all the time. I see you've been having a hard day. Does it show? But for us, we say, Holy Ghost. So here's what the Lord said to me. Michael, if you want to have power in the prophetic, you have to guard what you say, even when you're not under the anointing. You have to become a person of precision in what you talk about. It's true. So the more God can see our lives in that way. So here's what I want to do. I need a couple of angels here. Maybe, Dave and Steve can help me up here. So Stephen and David are, use your sanctified imagination, they're angels. Okay? I don't know what your angels look like, but, okay? So we got some awesome muscular angels up here. So here's what Jesus said. Now just stay with me, and just be done in a second. Matthew 11:22, have faith in God. Verse 23, for whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt that the things he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. That's in the Bible, the words of Christ. So here's my little example that I got first service. I want to show it to you. So these guys are angels. So this is my mountain. It's going to, it could be your family trouble, your financial trouble, your healing, some breakthrough. So anybody here besides me that got a couple mountains you're praying to God move, okay? So Jesus did not say, ask Papa to move your mountain. He said, move it with your words. And so I say, I bless myself to be debt free. I move that mountain. I thank you, God, for supplying all my needs and by the riches of glory. And then what happens, most of us say, oh, nothing's working. Nothing's working. So I pray again, oh, God, thank you for breaking through my family. My kids are going to serve the Lord. Good things are going to happen. And then I'm with my kids. Oh, my God, they're doing worse than ever. Nothing's happening. See, we're turning our angels into schizophrenics. We are. God's trying. He's trying to help us, but you know, we got this. So if we can be consistent long enough, stuff's going to happen. You with me? Thank you, angels. Michael's angels. So would you pray this prayer with me in closing? Would you stand to your feet? Altar team, would you join me down front? I'm going to ask you, can we invite the Holy Spirit into an advanced partnership with our words? How many want to become powerful in your words? Listen, the next few weeks, we're going to really launch into that. It's going to be awesome. So let's pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, come on, just pray with me. Holy Spirit, thank you for being my helper, my comforter, my counselor, my strengthener, my teacher, my intercessor. Thank you for all you do. I honor you. I reverence you. Forgive me for grieving you. I ask for your help in changing my vocabulary to agree with the will of God. Help me to be an encourager, a healer, a blesser, a lover. Help me to say what God would say in every situation. Convict me when I'm saying the wrong thing, and encourage me when I'm saying the right thing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. He's going to do that, okay? He's going to do it. It's going to work. So, hey, let's practice right now, okay? We're going to close in prayer. Let's practice right now. Just tell three people, I believe the best is yet to come in your life. Just tell them, three people, just... As we close today, I want to invite anyone. Listen, if you prayed the prayer to receive Christ today, we would love to talk with you. We have classes and discipleship. We would love to encourage you today down here at the altar. The Lord told me, here's what he said. He said, son, people's lives would be changed today, not just because of the message, but because of prayer after it. So we're going to say some things at this altar over you. If you say, Pastor, I'm coming today believing for a turning point day in my life, and I'm ready for someone to speak the word of faith, the prayer of faith over me. If that's you, if you need physical healing, if you're going through a difficult time, if you want someone to agree with you about something important, come down and let us pray for you. If you prayed the prayer to receive Christ today, if you've not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit, anything you want prayer for, come and join us. The rest of us, just a couple of times. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Lift up your hands and sing it.
But I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Yeah. I am a child of God.
But I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Mary and I love you. You're an awesome church. You can stay here and worship with us as long as you want. Wednesday night, we're ministering Tuesday night. The Supernatural School is not until they sign up for it. You're an awesome church. Have an awesome week. God bless you.